Agud and Chanukah, welcome. TorahAnytime.com. Now, I have to tell you something about TorahAnytime.com. These guys follow me wherever I go. Last night, my daughter came home, and she said, Tati, tomorrow I have a report. I need a Dvar Torah. It was 11:30 at night. I was in my kitchen. There's a skylight above the table in my kitchen. I said, I can't believe that wherever I am, and anytime I say a Dvar Torah, these guys are there. And I had a feeling that there's someone in my skylight with a camera from TorahAnytime.com, and they're filming me in my kitchen because I'm telling my daughter to draw Torah. I actually looked up, and there he was there. Tell him the truth. Tell him the whole story. It was like Hillel. There was the camera. All right, from now on, I'll be in a car telling my daughter to draw Torah so they can't follow me around. Anyway, I really want to thank them. They're amazing. They're unbelievable. And they should keep doing their good work. And of course, Kol HaLashon. Are they here? We're on. Kol HaLashon, thank you very, very much for doing your absolutely amazing work. Okay. So, tonight is the first night of Chanukah. I really would like to get into something about Chanukah, a little bit deep, but when I don't have time, it's like a 5-hour share. So I'm going to cut it down to 3 hours. So we're going to talk about what is Chanukah all about. Because there's like two things that are going on in Chanukah that are extremely, extremely opposite. Okay, two things happened on Chanukah. We went to war. If you get a chance, you should buy Megillas Chashmonaim. It was written a long time ago. It's the Megillah of the whole war that happened on Chanukah. Most people don't say it. The Sfardim from Spain still say it. They say it in Spain. But most people don't say it. But it really describes this war of the 5 Maccabees and Mattathiah, their father, against the whole Greek army. Now, it's an amazing thing because at that time, the empire that ran the world, right, was the Greek Empire. So they were the biggest army in the world. They could totally control the world. If you read Megillas Chashmonaim, they had boats, millions of men. They had infantry, navy, and they had tanks. What kind of tanks? They had elephants that were full of armor, and they would sit on top of these elephants, and they would shoot down at the enemy. They were huge elephants that they got from India. And the people would just get wiped out because you couldn't kill the elephant because even bullets bounce off it. You have to have an elephant gun. Bullets bounce off an elephant skin. Yeah, there's only one place on the bottom of the elephant that's a soft belly, and that's where you can kill an elephant. If you shoot an elephant with a .22, it can bounce right off. So if a .22 can't get through the skin, do not go to the Bronx Zoo tomorrow and try it out. All right, well, did I try it? I brought my .22, and the thing's bleeding, huh? You don't know what you're talking about. Trust me, you don't have to shoot elephants tomorrow, okay? But it's true that elephants, it would bounce off. So arrows and shooting arrows and elephant bounces off. So what they did is they had these elephants, they would sit on top of these elephants and they would shoot down, they'd wipe everyone out. This was the greatest army in the world. And 5 Jewish men, 5 Maccabees, 5 brothers and their father went out with a teeny little, small little band of army and destroyed the American army. Really, the one that was controlling the world, wiped them off, and the Greeks were never again. So that is a huge miracle. Nothing to talk about. Chanukah. Chanukah. They rested on the 25th day. So it sounds like that the miracle of Chanukah is that we won a war that there was no way that we could win. But we all know, if you ask any kid what's Chanukah, he'll tell you lighting candles. And all the halachas of Chanukah are about how high the candles be, how long the candles, hadlakah is a mitzvah, start with 8, go to 1, go from 1 to 8. There's a lot of halachas in Hilchos Chanukah that have to do with the candles, with the menorah. Why? Because there was a miracle that happened on Chanukah, and the miracle was that we lived for 1 day and it lasted 8 days. Now let me ask you something. Who cares? How does it affect our lives? Why would you make a Yom Tov out of something like that? Let's go through the Yom Tovim. Pesach. If we wouldn't have been saved on Pesach from the Mitzrim, we would have been wiped out. So we need to celebrate Pesach, because we wouldn't be here today if there was no Pesach. Shavuos, we got the Torah. If we didn't get the Torah, we wouldn't be Jewish. So we have to Purim, they wanted to wipe us out. Chanukah, they wanted to wipe us out. Sukkot was the 40 years that we lived in the Midbar, to remember the Sukkot that we did when we went out of Mitzrayim. Who cares if a candle was lit for 8 days or for 1 day? It really has nothing to do with me being here today. If that candle would have gone out after 1 day and there would have been no miracle, would it have made any difference in anybody in this room's life? unless you sell latkes, or you sell candles, or you sell oil, it wouldn't have made a difference in your life. Okay, they lit it, it didn't light, it did light, what's the difference to us? So what are you making a whole holiday, a whole yontif, that this little light ended up lighting for 8 days? It really doesn't mean anything to me. And most of the halakas, Hanukkah, that we celebrate, you ask any non-Jew, what's the holiday of Hanukkah? He doesn't even know about the war with the Greeks. He'll tell you, oh, you guys had some kind of miracle, man. Like you lit a candle and it just kept burning. That's the holiday. That's Hanukkah. So the kasha is, what is the holiday? The war, which we don't celebrate at all. We should be in competition with them. Right? I'm not going to mention a yeshiva and a shul, but you know, they got that big guy that they put outside on their lawns. Comes with a reindeer, you know, big guy with a long beard, looks like a Rebbe. A long white beard, you know. We know he's not a Rebbe. He comes down a chimney. Rebbes don't come down chimneys. So why don't we go ahead and put a bigger guy outside our house, 7 feet tall, Maccabee. Big sword and a big shield, right? We beat the Greeks. Let's show them. And you know what? We could do a whole scene. You know, you go to the Mill Basin, all these places, so all the tourists go and they want to see the scene. You know, they got the whole scene out there with the lights and all the things. We could also have a scene. We'll have a scene of this big Maccabee guy with a Greek guy and his head's off on the floor, right? And he's standing there. We are the Maccabees. We'll have all kinds of lights, right? We are the Maccabees. We'll have them killing elephants. We can make like a whole scene out of it. And nobody talks about how we beat the whole Greek nation. We don't say one word about it. You don't show it. We don't do anything. There's no minhag to show that we beat the Greeks. The only time you talk about it is in Shemoneh Esrei and in Benching, in Al HaNisim. And if you forget to say it, guess what? You don't have to say it over again. It's not Yalav Yavo, right? So it's not like the end of the world, this whole thing. So, the question is, if the whole holiday is called Hanukkah, it's not called Hadlotika, right? It's called Hanukkah, which means that the celebration is that we rested on the 25th. Why don't we celebrate it? We don't celebrate it. Latkes are made with oil. It's a memory of the oil from the menorah. If you're Sephardi and you eat jelly donuts, they're also made with oil to remember the oil that was in the menorah. I just told someone before, don't tell my wife, she'll kill me for saying this, but my wife also makes magic latkes. You eat them tonight and they burn for 8 days. I'm going to get in trouble for this. Okay, unless you take Malox, then it's only one day. So the question is, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? So if we look at Al HaNisim, Al HaNisim says, only talks about, all it talks about is the miracle of beating the Greeks. In the days of Yochanan Gadol, Kishon, the Malchus Yavon, HaRosh, Alam Chisrael, the Greek Empire came, Bagris, came to destroy Klal Yisrael, Tashkichem Torah Secha, to take away our Torah, and to stop us from doing our mitzvahs, and Hashem stood up to them, and we revenged, and we killed them, and we wiped them out, and he gave the strong Greeks were given in the weak Jews' hands, and many Greeks in the small amount of Jews, and the Temeim, the unpure Greeks, in the Tahirim, beautiful. So the whole Al HaNisim, we don't talk about the candles, all we talk about is the war, and we don't celebrate it, we don't show it at all, and the holiday is called Chanukah Fei. At the end, it talks about the Neros. And it says the following. It's like second thought. And after that, by the way, after we beat the Greeks and we destroyed them, the Jewish, your sons, your children, Hashem's children, came to the Beis HaMikdash. They turned over the Heichal, the chamber. They made it pure. And they lit the candles in the chatzar, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Hello, if you're talking about the lighting of the candles, so why doesn't Al HaNisim tell us? And they only had enough oil for one day. And they lit it for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. You don't, for some reason, we don't even mention, when we're mentioning about the menorah, we don't even mention that there was a miracle. What's going on here? I'm sure it bothered all of you, and that's why you're here tonight. Good question, that's why you came tonight. Because you want to hear the answer. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the answer. It's an amazing answer. And then we'll go a little bit into the Pasha. When Hashem created the world on the first day, He said the following, Yom Elokim, Yihyar, there should be light, but Yihyar, and there was light. Vayah Elokim es Aor Ki Tov, Hashem saw that the light was good. Vayavdal Elokim ben Aor ben Achoshech, and Hashem separated between light and day. What did he call it? La'or Yom, he called light day. La'choshech kara laila, and at the night he called night. So what was created on the first day? Kadosh Baruch Hu created the light. And he separated the dark and the light, and he said, light, day. Dark, night. Everybody knows that? Everybody learned that when they were first grade. Okay. Then, we go a little bit further, and we go to the fourth day. And what happened on the fourth day? Hashem created, right, the luminaries. He created the luminaries, the sun and the moon. Why? To separate day and night. That's interesting. I thought he did it on the first day. Didn't we say that? That he made Aor was day and Choshech was night? So why is he doing it again? Okay? And Hashem put these stars and moon and sun in the sky, to light up the land. You did that already, Hashem. You did that on the first day. So why are you doing it again? What?
That was the light without the sun.
Well, good question. There was no sun. There was no moon. There was no... What's that light? So that's the question that's asked. And the light that came on the first day was called the Aor HaGanuz. God created a light when he created this world. There was no sun, there was no moon, and there was no stars. Hashem put a light into this world when he created the world. That was a very, very special light. That under this light, nothing would die. And nothing would rot. And nothing would age. And nothing would get sick. It was a spiritual, physical light. That under that light, you could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. And God saw what? That was created later. I'm talking about the light. Oh, would they die? Would they rot? No, nothing would rot. What?
Talking about the third day.
Right, that's nothing. What? Right, that has nothing to do with... I'm just talking about light right now. I'm not going into what was created on every single day. My point is that there were two lights created. There was a sun and a moon and stars. And there was a light that we don't... What is this light? So it's brought down in the Sifrei Kabbalah and all this forum that Hashem, when he created the world, he created a light that's called the Aor HaGanuz. And under this light was supposed to live forever. And everything would be forever. And that was like the perfect light. The Aor HaGanuz lasted for 36 hours. After 36 hours, God said that this light will not work in this world. Why? Because the Risham, the bad people, will never die. And the bad people will never be punished, will never get sick. And even the good people will never get sick, which cleans away their Averis. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, this light is not for this world. This light is for the next world. It's for when Mashiach comes. When there's no death, and you live forever, and there's nothing rotting. And therefore Hashem took this light of 36 hours and he hid it. And he said, the world will be controlled by a sun and a moon and stars, and that's the light we're going to have. And those lights, they have healing. The sun has a healing koyach, but also Hashem can cause cancer. It doesn't, things rot underneath the sun, and things rot underneath the moon. So he took that Aor HaGanuz and he hid it away. And that's 36 hours. Now, the Svarim say something that most people do not know is that he returns that Aor HaGanuz, that hidden light, every single year. And he returns it in the 8 days of Hanukkah. Comes back to this world. If you take the candles that you light, first day one, second day two, third day three, you get 36 candles if you add them all up. Every single night, every single candle that you light in your menorah represents one shah, 1 hour, whatever that means, of the Aor HaGanuz. Which means that the Chanukah menorah, the 8 days of Chanukah, are the holiest days of the year when it comes to the light of your spirit, the light of your neshama. And that's why it's the hardest time. And that's why the Yetzer Hara came up with Chanukah parties, partying, and Kvitloch, playing cards that have a Yiddish name, right? Hello. Guy told me tonight, I said, you're coming to my shir? He goes, no, we're a bunch of guys, we're taking a limo, we're going to Atlantic City. I said, why are you going to Atlantic City? He said, it's Chanukah. I said, what's the connection? He said, no, the dreidel spins on the felt very nicely. You should see Rebbe. No, he said, seriously, because Hanukkah, you gamble. I said, really? Yeah. You never played Kritlach? So Kritlach is this game. And it's very interesting. The Kabbalah Yashar says that the Greeks created a card game. So if I was to ask you, what holiday would you play cards on? What would you tell me? Pesach? No. Purim. I'm already drinking. I'm already happy. I'm already eating. It's a holiday of being physical. So Purim, I'm partying anyway. Let's have a game of poker. Where does cards come to Hanukkah? Where's the connection? And the answer is that the Satan, we're going to get to this, the Yetzirah understands that every person in this room, every guy sitting in this room right now, can go on Hanukkah and get from his candle lighting one of those hours, which is from the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light, and that's going to light up his neshama. It's going to explode, and I'm going to explain that to you soon. So on Hanukkah, he comes up with Hanukkah parties, and Hanukkah concerts, and Atlantic City, and Hanukkah card games, and every stupidity that you can come up with. That doesn't belong here. It doesn't even make sense. And what happened is, now kids played Kritlach. So now if you can play Kritlach, then you might as well go to Atlantic City. What's the difference? What's the difference? Some kids tell me it's better. When you play Kritlach, you're playing with your friends. You're stealing from them. Atlantic City, they don't care. They say, come play. You're going to lose anyway, whatever. In the end, you're going to build our hotel for us. So it's not, you know, it's not even an Aveira. So you see that there's this war against us on Hanukkah, which is the war of Yavin, which we're going to talk about. So I want to talk about this Or HaGanuz for a minute. I want to talk about this hidden light in every single person, which we know that there is. Any guy in this room knows that there's every person has a certain purity. Now, we take our candles and we put them by the window to show the whole world the miracle that the candles burn for 8 days when it's only supposed to burn for one day. And the war we don't tell anybody about. We, by Moedim, quietly we talk about it. What's going on over here? And the answer is like this. The answer is, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. The answer is that Hashem said, I want you to show the world not what I did for you. I want you to show the world what you did for me. So, the war Hashem did for us. The miracle of the Hanukkah menorah lasting 8 days, we did for Hashem. What are you talking about, Rabbi Wallerstein? He changed nature. It was supposed to last for one day and it lasted for 8 days. Listen carefully. There's a Jewish law that if most of the people are Tamei, you're allowed to use Tamei things. It's called Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. The whole Jewish nation, when they came from this war with the Greeks, every single person, including the Kahanim, because the Maccabees were Kahanim, and they killed a lot of people. Everybody was Tamei Mace. Everybody was Tamei. So halachically, they could have gone into the Beis HaMikdash, and they could have taken out cans of oil that were opened, no problem, big cans, they didn't know miracle. And they could have used all those cans every single day, and it would have been kosher, v'yosher, it would have been perfect, it would have been fine, it would have been great. They said no. And if you look in the Siddur, in Al Hanisim that I read, it does talk about the miracle of Hanukkah. It does talk about the miracle of the candles. It says, what did they do? They came, Banecha, Hashem's sons. That's not used in the first parsha, when we went to fight them. We're not called Bonecha. Your sons went, and they came into the Beis HaMikdash, and the first thing they did, is they said, this is God's house, man. This place is a shambles. They got huge 52-inch screens all over the Beis HaMikdash. They're watching television in here. They got internet. They got rap music. They got everything. All the schmutz of the Greeks. What are the schmutz of the Greeks? Hellenism. Venus, Hercules, the goddess of love, the goddess of beauty. They were into chitzonius, in beauty and love and strength. The Colosseum. This is what they were all about. This is what the whole Beis HaMikdash was about. It was all full of this tumah. Like, the Jews came and said, enough. Enough. We're not having this in my house. I'm not having this in my house. This is Hashem's house. And they came in and the first thing they didn't like, the menorah, Read what it says in Al Nisim. The first thing they came in, they cleaned the house. This is not a place to light a menorah. This is not a place to bring up Jewish kids. My house, first thing you have to do is you have to clean house. Well, we're not talking about houses. We're talking about you guys. We're talking about Asli Migdash for Shechanti B'socham. We're talking about the Beis HaMigdash. Hashem says, my Beis HaMigdash is not important. You are my Beis HaMigdash. Every guy in this room is Asli Migdash for Shechanti B'socham. I dwell in you. In every Jewish kid, in every Jewish person in this room, that's where Hashem dwells. So the first thing the Jews did is, I got to clean up my act before I bring God into my heart. I got to get rid of all the schmutz. They had enough schmutz. So they walked in, they said, we're cleaning this place up. And they cleaned the place up. And then they made it tahar. And then they said, we are not lighting dirty, tamei oil. We are going to look until we find something pure to give God. The Jews did not have to do that. In fact, it was a very big argument. Some rabbi said, when they found a little can, they said, so how long is that going to last? One day. It takes 8 days to make new oil. Do you know if we light this for one day? They didn't expect a miracle. Then for 7 days, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be dark. That's not the right thing. For 7 days, the Jews are going to get depressed. They're going to come to the Beis HaMikdash and go, look at the menorah is dark. So they said, no, you can't use the little pach shemen that's pure. Let's use the tamei oil. And the other side said, hey, we've been tamei for so long. We've been living with these Greeks for so long. We've been dirty and filthy for so long. Come on, we want to get the right start. Let's just use, God will do whatever he wants. One day of purity. Just give us a moment of purity. That's all we want. It's not about the darkness that comes after it. Just give us one day of purity. We are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want one day of purity. And Hashem said, you're willing to give up being depressed for 7 days because it's going to be dark? You're willing to bring me just something pure because you love me? Then in return, I will give you 8 days. And the miracle of Hanukkah is not that the oil lasted for 8 days. The miracle of Hanukkah is that there was oil. Because the Greeks broke every single can of oil. And therefore, why did they leave this one little can of oil? The miracle of Hanukkah was HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the miracle there. He left a can of oil there because he said, maybe they love me enough to look hard and deep to find some can of oil. So I will put one in there that the Greeks will miss. Every person in this room, every person, this is what Hanukkah is all about. Every guy in this room has that can of oil in him. No matter how much schmutz, no matter how many sins you did, no matter how much dirt you gathered, don't let the Yetzer Hara tell you that there's no cans left. Because Baruch says, I will put a place in your soul that's still clean. But you got to look for it. And if you're just going to settle for being tamei and filthy, but I put my tefillin on, it's fine, it's kosher. But I'm not making any miracles for you. You want miracles? Then you find that little can that I left. And you know where this can came from? There's a medrash, the Zaya talks about it, everybody talks about it. You know where this can came from? This can, where did it come from? How come they missed it? How come they didn't see it? Let me tell you where this can came from. Amazing. This can was created a long time before Hanukkah. In the Pasha of Yaakov Avinu, when he goes to sleep. Right? A few Pashas ago. Listen to this. Vayetze Yaakov. So he goes to sleep and he has a dream and he wakes up and he says, wow, Hashem is here. Vayashkem Yaakov Baboke, he wakes up in the morning, Yikach HaSeev, and he takes the stone that was in his, that by his head. Vayashem HaSeev Matzeva, he puts it up as a Matzeva. What's a Matzeva in English?
Monument.
A monument, very good, thank you. Vayitzek Shemen HaRoshoy, and he pours oil on the Matzeva. New guys, hit me with a great question. Where do you get oil from? Why wouldn't he have oil? How do we know he doesn't have oil? Eliphaz, Esav's son, took everything away from him so that he's considered dead. So why did he leave him with oil? He didn't leave him with oil. So where did this oil come from? It says the Zaya HaKadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this Pach Shemen by Yaakov. For when the Greeks look through the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Pach Shemen that they're going to find. This was the Pachim Ketanim, says the Zohar, that when Yaakov went back to get the can, the little jars, cans, the Pachim Ketanim that he went back for wasn't a can of peanut butter. It was this can of oil. And Esav was waiting for him. And Esav said, I'm not going to let you have this can of oil. I'm going to take this can of oil away from you. Because Esav knew that there's going to be a day that this can of oil is going to be sitting in the base of Midrash, and the Jews are going to make a decision that they're going to look and look and look until they find it. And he knew that would be the end of the Greeks, and that would give us Hanukkah every single year till Mashiach comes, and that the Ar HaGonuz, this hidden light, is going to be in those candles, and that every single kid, no matter what the Jew, no matter what this kid went through, depression, drugs, girls, I don't care what he went through, the dirt and the filth and every Aveira, Esav knew that this can, if you look for it, you'll find it in your soul. And he wanted to take it away. And that's why he fought the minute Yaakov went to get that pach. He said, what do you wake up now? He said, no, no, no. And that was the pach that was used to anoint the Mishkan, that was used to anoint the Kahanim, that was the pach that was used to anoint the Beis HaMikdash, and that was the pach that they found at this point. And it says that pach that continued pouring, there's a lot of different miracles that happened. That's why the first day is also a miracle. First day, there was enough oil. One of the things is that it kept pouring. That pach will be used to anoint Mashiach. So that's a big pach. But you know what? If you don't look for it, if they wouldn't have looked for it, and they would have just said, Tumu Hutra B'tzibur, let's just use Tamei Dika oil, there would have been no Hanukkah. So when we get up and we light the candles, we say, Hashem is testifying, my Jewish children love me. They didn't accept a way out, a way around Tumu Hutra B'tzibur. They said, for God, only the best. And we're going to look for it until we find it. And Hashem wants the world to know that this is what we did for Him. So He says, what I did for you, you talk about that privately. That's between me and you. But what you did for me, I want everybody to see. And that's this holiday. That's Hanukkah. And that's why we put the menorah in the window. We don't show off our religion at all. Shabbos candles on the table. Sukkah in the back of your house. Pesach in the Seder. We don't show it off. The thing that we show off is because Hashem showing off, not us. Hashem says, look at my kids. Look what they did for me. So in turn, Midah Kenegah Midah, I did the same thing. I took something that was supposed to last one day, and it lasted for 8 days. And I can tell you, in my own life, and I've spoken about this a lot, I used to go to movies. I went in and I said, Hashem, I'm not going to movies no more. I'm only going to rated G, which I knew was Disney, and I'm not going to no Disney movie. Right? I said, that's what I'm giving you, God. I'm turning all my garbage, my rock and roll, my Atlantic City, whatever else I had in my life, I'm not giving that to you, Hashem. But I'm going to give you one pure thing. I'm giving up movies. I'm giving you a Pach Shemen. Pure. I'm giving to you, Hashem. I went inside my heart. That's the only thing I can handle right now. I'm giving up movies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're giving up movies? You went into your soul and you found that little can? And I'm going to take that can of oil and I'm going to make 8 days out of it. Movies? Went to television? To Atlantic City, to magazines, to radio, to rock and roll. And he took one decision in my life that I made purely, and he made 8 decisions after that he helped me make. That there's no way in my life that I would be giving up music. I'm a drummer. No way I was giving up Zeppelin, Floyd, The Doors. There's no way. This was my life. Not your garbage that you guys listen to, I would have given up in 2 minutes. That's not a bunch of guys rhyming a couple of words, big deal. You know what I mean? It's a big deal. Open up a book of rhymes and you rhyme it. Anyway, they look so mean, these guys, that I'm scared to put on their music. I look at the cover and I'm like, the guy looks like he wants to kill me. He's going to jump out of the cover. Like, you know, that wasn't my problem. I said to Hashem, I said, I'll give you anything, but I'm not giving you my music. I just, Chas V'Shalom, not saying anything about Shweki. He's great. But coming from Zeppelin. You know, it's like a big move. Going out of rock and roll and coming into Jewish music. And I said, there's no logical, teva, natural way for me to give up my music. But I had excuses. You know, it doesn't really affect me. You know, whatever it is. Tina Turner. Now you look at me like I'm a sugar nut. Right? I was a big Tina Turner fan. I even went to her concert. Okay, I was so out of my mind that every single one of her tapes. Okay, I'll give up this now. I'm not giving up Tina Turner. There's no way that I could give up because I was so in this music. It was part of me. It came December 31st, came January 1st at night. I can tell you all top 100, what the label was, what the song was. That's what I lived in. I have tapes. I don't know if they're around anymore. I have tapes of the top 100. I lived in that music. There was no koyach in me, no way for me to give up that music. But guess what? I gave God one pure corner of my soul. One teeny part of my soul I made pure. I said, I'm not going anymore to movies. And God said, you gave me a little can, I'm going to make that can light for 8 days. I'm still alive. I'm listening to Kalbach, to some other stuff. I haven't listened to a rock and roll song in probably 8 years. You would have told me that would be possible. I would tell you it's impossible. And of course, everywhere I go, they're playing all the old songs. You go to a department store, hello. So, where do you get the koyach from? You have to find something, not everything. You have to find something in your soul, something that you're doing, and you have to make it pure. And if you do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. You know how he helps you? He gives you the Or HaGadol. He gives you the hidden light. And when you get the hidden light, people ask me, you're learning Zohar? You're learning Kabbalah? Someone asked me last week, you quote Rav Chaim Vital? Who are you to quote Rav Chaim Vital? How do you understand that? Why do you go to the mikvah 100 times a day? Are you fasting from Monday to Thursday? Like, how do you understand it? There are people much bigger than you that don't understand it. And it's very simple. It's a miracle, and I shouldn't understand it. It's the Or HaGadol. It's the hidden light. If you have the hidden light, you understand everything. So you give Hashem a little bit of a corner, and Hanukkah time, you stand by those neiros, and you say, Hashem, I can't clean out the whole thing, but I can clean out a little part of my base. I give you a little can of oil. I'm not doing this anymore. Finished. It's out of here. This I'm giving you, Hashem. You will see miracles. That is Hanukkah. That is what we're supposed to learn from Hanukkah. Just a small little thing. And every Jewish kid, don't let the Yitzhak tell you, you don't even have one can of oil. Everybody has that can of oil. Everybody has that little, or a mitzvah. A mitzvah that you perfected. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories tonight. A mitzvah that you perfected, that you do 100%. There's no if, ands, or but. You do it 100%. That's your Pach Hashem. It's not always not doing something. You can take on something that you're going to do every day. I don't care if the world comes to an end, and I'm doing it because I love you, God, because I'm your child, and because you're my father, and that's the only reason I'm doing it. Forget about it. You're going to grow. You're going to fly. It's going to be a flame like we know. Fire is the only thing in the physical world that doesn't have the physical theory of displacement. That you can light one candle, you can light 100 candles, the first candle, there was no fire. Everything else in the world, in the physical world, has the theory of displacement. You take a cup of water, you give me half, you only have half. The only thing in the world that doesn't work that way is fire. And that's why fire is compared to a soul. Because you can help and help and help and help and you don't lose. I could go out and teach you and the next thing, teach, and you're growing and you're growing and you're growing. And guess what? It works the opposite way. The Mishnah says, from my students, not I become less of a fire, I become more of a fire. That only works with Torah. That only works with spirituality. And that is the Nair, and that is Hanukkah. And that's what Hanukkah is all about. So we don't talk about the war. The war is between me and Hashem. Listen, I wouldn't be here today if I didn't win the war. That's not what Hanukkah is all about. This is what Hanukkah is all about. I just want to tell you a couple of very interesting stories. Most of you guys, I mean, these are stories that I said like 7 years ago. And then I'm going to talk about Yosef, because I'll tell you the truth. Yosef, Atzadik, maybe I should talk about him first. Yosef Atzadik made the same mistake. This week's Pasha always comes out. Miketz always comes out on Hanukkah. He made the same mistake. What did he do? In last week's parasha, when it starts, right? So, he was very great. He was a very big tzaddik. But if you see what happens, when he tells his brother the dreams, right? Listen. He tells his brother the dream. He says, "Vayachalom oichalom." He had another dream. "Vayisapa oisalechav." And he told his brothers, and he said, "I had a dream, and there was a sun and a moon, and there was 11. They were bowing down to me." And he tells his father, and he tells his brother. His brothers get very angry, right? His father says, "I don't understand. Me and your mother bow down to you." His brothers became jealous. His father said, "I got to think about this." He didn't become jealous. He didn't become angry. He said, "Something's going on over here." Yosef's mistake was that Yosef disconnected himself from Hashem. He was Koichem Oitzim Yadi. It was all about him. What about him? I made the shidduch. I do well in business. I'm smart. I'm good looking. I can talk anyone into anything. I know how to invest. I'm a good poker player. Whatever you do, it's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. Yosef made that mistake. And the price he paid for that mistake is that he went from the top, being his father's number one, to the bottom in Potiphar's house. And Hashem thought he learned his lesson. Usually when you go from the top and you get smacked to the bottom, you begin to think about, why did this happen to me? So he came to Potiphar's house, and he did the same thing again. He said, I'm the man. I got everything. Here, look, listen to what it says. V'yosef hurad mitzrayma. He went all the way down to the bottom. To the bottom, right? What happens? He starts walking around, and he says, I'm an ish matzliach. Whatever I touch turns into gold. What does the mitzri that he works for say? Vayar Adonov, his master sees, ki Hashem ito. It has nothing to do, imagine, an Arab, not a Jew. It has nothing to do with you. The only reason that anything you touch, Jew, is because ki Hashem ito, because God is with you. T'chol Hashehu osa Hashem atzliach v'yadai. Okay, what happens? Now, let's see if Yosef got it. What does he repeat to her? He says to her, Einenu gadol b'abayis. There's nobody greater than me in the house. Hello? You're nothing. Even your master knows that the only reason anything is going on good in the house is because of God. He's coming to Potiphar's wife. And he's making the same mistake he made before. And he's saying, it's all about me. It's all about Yifas Toya. I'm good looking. I'm a Jewish accountant. I'm a Jewish lawyer. It's all about me. It's all about you, said Hashem. You think it's all about you. So now you were all the way up, running the household. Now you're coming all the way back down. And of course, we know what happened. They threw him into jail. So you would think at this point, he would get it. So he goes to jail. And what happens in jail? Exactly the same thing. He says like this. What's the pasuk? You have to hear it inside. It's very important that you hear it inside. Yosef became the head of jail, right? And these two guys had a dream. And when he translates the dream, he says the following. Vayomalo Yosef, Ze Pisrono. I'm going to tell you the translation. This is the translation. He doesn't say anything about God, that maybe God is helping him. No. Ze Pisrono. Show the three grapes in 3 days. And he translates the whole thing. And then he says, V'asishino imadi chesed. He's telling this to the Saramashkim, the guy who's taking care of the wine, right? The butler. He says, do me a favor, this Kartani is Paro. Tell Paro about me, and get me out of here. Why? He gun of Gunafti merits Ivrim. I was stolen, and I don't belong here because she made up a story. Fine. And in the end, what happens? The guy totally forgets about him. And he ends up, Rashi says, stuck in the dungeon for another 2 years. He was up by his father, it was all about him, he fell down. He was up by his master, it's all about him, he fell down. He's up now in jail, it's all about him, he falls down. He ends up in jail for another 2 years. What exactly, a very fantastic question. What did he, he didn't know that Paro was going to have a dream this week, Paro Shemikets, right? So what did he say to the Saramashkim? He said, don't forget me. Tell Paro that I know how to translate dreams. Paro didn't have a dream yet. What does Paro care if you translate dreams? He would have been better off if he would have said, I know how to fix cars, chariots. The man didn't have a dream. What are you telling him? Don't forget to tell him that I translate dreams. Paro didn't have a dream yet. And he totally, totally depended on this Arab to go to Paro, and to, again, forgetting about Hashem. Third time. They went from the top to the bottom. God has patience, and God loves us all. So God said, I'm going to give him one more chance. Listen carefully to what happens. Paro has a dream. Fat cows, skinny cows, this, that, the other thing. He calls for Yosef. He's going to translate his dreams. What happens? Listen carefully. Now you're a dick. Vayan Yosef is Paro. Vayom Paro Yosef. Chalem Chalamti, I had a dream. Nobody knows how to translate it. They came up, seven daughters, and they're going to die, and seven sons, and they're going to die. He realized they weren't the answer. So Paro said to him, I heard that you're the man. You know how to translate dreams. The old Yosef would have said, that's right. I am the man. He didn't say that. Vayan Yosef is Paro Lema. Yosef said to Paro, saying, Bil Odai Elokim, without God, I can't answer you anything. And he went on, and all he talked about, after Paro told him the whole thing, he said, Vayom Yosef Paro, Chaloim, you had one dream, as Ashelokim Oise Higid Leparo, what Hashem is going to do, I'm going to tell to Paro. And he just continues, Hu Adav Ashidibati Paro, you want to know what I told you, Paro? Ashelokim Oise, what Hashem told me. And every two psukim, he reminds Paro, it's all about Nachon, it's right, Hadava, this, Me'im Elokim, from God, it's not from me, it's nothing to do with me, I have nothing to do with this, I don't know how to translate dreams, I'm an idiot, I don't know how to do anything, it's all God. He finally learned, after three times, thinking, that I do well in business, or I got the girl that I want, because I'm good looking, and I do well in business, because I'm smart, whatever you talked yourself into, right, he finally came to the realization, no, I got the girl, my shidduch is because Hashem wanted my shidduch. My job is because Hashem wanted my job. So he turned the whole tables and he said, no, there's no me anymore. And everything he told Paro was all about Hashem. Now listen to this. Paro comes out after all this and listen to what he says. Listen to what you could do, how you guys can change the world. So he's staying there the whole time and Paro's trying to give him credit. You're brilliant. You're a genius. You figured this all out. Wow, unbelievable. And he keeps saying, no, it's God, right? What happens? Amazing psukim. Vayomer Paro el avadov. Paro calls all his servants together. He wants to make a statement. He wants to tell the whole Egyptian chevra, the whole group, he wants to make a statement about Yosef. What does he say? Vayomer Paro el avadov. Hanimtza kezeh ish. Have you ever met a man like this? Asher ruach elokim bo. That has the spirit of God. Could you imagine the Kiddush Hashem that he did here? An Egyptian who believed in idols, who believed in power, they were the power of the world, who believed in magic, there was nobody in the world that had their magic. Got up, the king, the representative of everything they stood for, got up and said, there's a man amongst us who has a spirit of God like nobody has. What an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem, but he's not finished. After God gave you all this information, there's no competition. If you're connected to God, and he's the one that gave you this information, there's nobody smarter than you. You will run Egypt. Okay. He took off his ring, and he called him Tafnas Paneya. And the rest of Mitzrayim realized that this Jew, this person, this Ivri, stolen, kidnapped, who went through prison, who they called all kinds of names, they realized because he kept saying that everything I'm doing is from Hashem, they realized what a Jew really is. And they realized that there's no smarter and no wiser and no holier person than this Jew. This servant, the slave, this Jew. So let me ask you, anyone in this room ever do a very great business deal, and while they're sitting there, and the guy says, an amazing business deal, we just did an amazing business deal, and you turn to your partner and said, it really has nothing to do with us, it's all God. You walk out of there like, yeah, I can sell him the Brooklyn Bridge, man. I can sell anything. A guy gets 100 on his test in college, and he has to turn to his professor and say, without God giving me the knowledge, no matter how much I would have studied, I would have never understood this. Or you say, yeah, what'd you expect? Less than 100? Of course I got 100. There's a very big difference. There's a very big difference. This was the mistake. And then you know what happened after this? He became king of Mitzrayim and never went down again. Never went down until he was dead. So the lesson of Miketz is that if we understand that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everything is possible. And this was Chanukah, and that's why this is connected to Chanukah. Because we understood that we were looking for this little jar of oil, for this little pure jar of oil. And we understood that, you know what? If God left me this pure jar, he could do anything. This thing can last for 8 days, this thing can last for 8 years, this thing can last for 800 years. Why do we light on the first day? One